There's a sound ringing in my head. Golden faces.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, minus the Brian this afternoon. That's okay. We got Evan on the board. Callers on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. It's a rainy afternoon here on Madison's Near West Side. I'm broadcasting from the Solidarity Realty Studios here in Madison. You're listening on Devil Radio 92.7 FM in Madison, The Shaw 101 FM in Waukesha, Bull Falls Radio 98.9 FM in Wausau, and locally grown radio 97.5 FM in Wisconsin Rapids. Before we went to the break, tried to squeeze in one phone caller there. Adam here in Madison was asking first about why former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish was the choice of some of the establishment Republicans here in the state of Wisconsin. Pretty much the fact that she was just going to continue the 8 years of the Walker administration, which Voss and a lot of the elected officials in the state legislature really enjoyed, the Republican elected officials, that is. They got to do pretty much whatever they wanted, and they had a rubber stamp to sign off on it. That's what I believe they saw in former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish, a continuation of that Walker-Clayfish administration. Michaels isn't a known quantity here in the state of Wisconsin. He ran for a state Senate seat in 1998. He lost. He ran against Russ Feingold in 2004 for the U.S. Senate. He lost then as well. But he has been on numerous boards, trade groups, and things of that nature since losing those elections in 98 and 2004. He acts like a political outsider. He wants you to believe that he's a political outsider. But really, he's just hasn't been successful in politics until this past Tuesday. He would have won, I guess, a primary in the Republican primary to get that nomination in 2004, but he lost by like 11 or 12 points to Russ Feingold. And in the state of Wisconsin, that's a handed defeat. We are a state that has razor-thin margins when it comes to political contests at the statewide level. And to get your clock cleaned by double-digit figures here in Wisconsin, that's a landslide defeat. And that is, until this past Tuesday, Michaels' most recent electoral history here in the state of Wisconsin. So I have a feeling that's why Rebecca Clayfish was the choice of the establishment over Tim Michaels. He's just an unknown quantity. But to your second question, Adam, why were some Democrats going and voting for Michaels? There was polling that shows, in a head-to-head matchup, incumbent Governor Tony Evers matches up better against Tim Michaels. I think the fact that Michaels is not a known quantity is a huge aspect of that. I think that just in the polling, people knew Rebecca Clayfish more. And therefore, when you're doing those political polls, doing hypothetical matchups between an incumbent that we knew was going to be on the ballot this November, Tony Evers, and two different candidates in the Republican field, it seemed like the polling indicated Michaels was the weaker candidate of the two. So with Democrats choosing to drop out of that race, State Treasurer Sarah Godlewski, Bucks Vice President Alex Lazary, Outagamie County Executive Tom Nelson, and all endorsing Mandela Barnes, current Lieutenant Governor here in the state of Wisconsin, less than 2 weeks before the primary, it made it less interesting to go to that Democratic primary. It just did. The enthusiasm wasn't necessarily there as much, not to say that Mandela Barnes isn't an exciting candidate and voters weren't enthusiastically voting for him. It just, for people that didn't know who they were going to choose or were maybe not settled on Barnes but wanted a different candidate, they might have wanted to play political strategy. And we're all political strategists when you're trying to do that. If you're voting in a partisan primary, you were one of the 26% of Wisconsin voters that went to the polls on Tuesday. So you're already a self-selecting group on that fact. And then you want to be able to do the strategy in a partisan primary. You're trying to figure out who, if you are a Democratic voter and you want to see Tony Evers win in November, but you necessarily don't need to vote in the Democratic primary anymore because the top of the ticket, the U.S. Senate race, was already decided, and you wanted to try to make it easier for Tony Evers, I could see you voting for Tim Michaels against Rebecca Clayfish. I think that's part of it. I don't know if that is going to be
successful.
I don't know if Tim Michaels was the weaker candidate of Rebecca Clayfish and him. We'll never know. That's the thing. You can't prove those unknowns. So appreciate the question, Adam. Appreciate the call. You can be like Adam. 844-967-2789. The headline of the day, though, outside of analyzing Tuesday's primary partisan election results, Michael Gableman out on his keister right before the weekend. He has been notified via letter. Apparently, that's what the contract called for. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has notified Gableman through that letter that his work is no longer needed. His services have been rendered. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is not having it anymore. He's not signing those $11,000 or $5,500 monthly paychecks anymore. The public financing of Gableman's crazy charade over the last 13 months has come to an end. And yes, I have the sentiment better late than never. But again, Robin Voss doesn't deserve brownie points for doing the right thing after this long. Gableman's sham should have never began. There has been no evidence of widespread voter fraud in the state of Wisconsin. There have been numerous court cases, several audits. There has been recounts of the state's most populous counties. No widespread fraud. The attorney general candidate for the Republicans, Fond du Lac District Attorney Eric Toney, has thrown the book at the few individual cases of voter fraud. Registering at the wrong address is essentially what it comes down to. In the state of Wisconsin, you cannot use a P.O. box to register to vote. And Eric Toney has thrown the book, I believe, at two, maybe three individuals. And the kicker is, some of them aren't even Democrats. There were Republican voters that just accidentally used a P.O. box instead of they didn't have another address. So they used a P.O. box that they rent through a UPS or a FedEx store, and they thought that would qualify even though it's against Wisconsin state law. And so that's the best that Republicans or anybody, all the nonpartisan efforts that looked at it, but Republicans specifically in reviewing the 2020 election could not find any evidence of widespread voter fraud. The Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, the poster child for Republican lawsuits in the state of Wisconsin, did a review and found nothing. That's what's going on. And Michael Gableman has finally been let go. He has cost Wisconsin taxpayers more than $1.1 million. But that's not what got him fired. What got him fired is he endorsed the primary opponent of Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. Voss nearly lost that election. 260 votes, $500,000 spent to get through that election by the Assembly Speaker. And that is what caused Michael Gableman to be cut off from a taxpayer salary. Not all the wrongdoing, not all the buffoonery, not all the breaking of open records laws, none of that. It was the endorsing and doing robocalls and getting behind a candidate that was trying to oust the Assembly Speaker. You're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. You can join the conversation. Share your tangent. 844-967-2789. You can be like our friend here in Madison, Joe. Joe, what's on your mind today?
Well, I'm interested to figure out who's paying the bill on that $1 million plus fooling around and dinking around and accomplishing nothing. Who ponies up for that? Are we just, obviously, we're just expected to eat it without any restitution, without anybody coming up with a check. How about Robin Voss coming up with a check? He was the guy who hired him. I mean, this is ridiculous. This money has just been chewed up for nothing. At what point do the people of the state kind of put their foot down and say this expenditure was worth nothing? And you know it was worth nothing. This was just to please President Trump, who is soon going to be in a different situation, one hopes. I don't know. Your thoughts, I know you're probably as fried about it as I am. It was a circus parade. It was an absolute circus parade, and at least a circus parade is somewhat entertaining and certainly doesn't cost as much as this.
Yeah, I don't ever remember paying $1.1 million for some tickets to the circus, Joe. So this is definitely one of the more expensive outings to the circus, but it's coming out of the general fund, to the best of my knowledge. The state's general fund is what's going to pay for this. I don't still understand how Voss was able to authorize that without getting it signed off by the governor. Like, I don't know if that was part of the lame duck legislation that gave Voss this authority, but for an appropriation like this, I would assume that it would have to get passed. And that was still a confusing thing for me when this all began, was how was this Office of the Special Counsel be created if not with some kind of check and balance from the other branches of government here in the state of Wisconsin? And I understand that the legislature has the ability to do oversight. Like, I get that is an aspect of the legislature. But if you're telling me there was no official oversight, it wasn't an official review of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. It was a fishing expedition. Michael Gableman was traveling around the country to conspiracy theory conferences and charging the Wisconsin taxpayers for reimbursement on those trips and eating at numerous, like, I remember we got to go through his receipts at one point, all of the things that he had requested reimbursement on, and it was Costco trips, and it was trips to all of these different restaurants, and he was eating out on the taxpayer dime throughout Brookfield and Waukesha and the Milwaukee area, and that was the work. He had nothing to show for it except lunch and dinner receipts and maybe some office equipment from Costco and, like, a Kinko's. And
Gableman the tableman.
It's outstanding the fact that this went on for more than 13 months. And I thoroughly support the request for an audit of this, because I believe Wisconsin taxpayers deserve to find out what their money was fully spent on and how Gableman used the more than $1.1 million. Because what it boils down to, I have a feeling it's just going to be a lot of Republican attorney's fees and covering the attorney's fees for American Oversight, the government watchdog organization that sued the Office of the Special Counsel over and over again because it knew it was breaking open records laws and they wanted to hold the office accountable. Voss condoned it. There was no scope agreement. There was no nothing to set up this review, charade, sham, whatever you want to call it. There was nothing there to set it up for an official means, and they were supposed to keep open records. They didn't do that. They were supposed to not delete records. They did do that. And so there's numerous attorney's fees, including the Republican attorneys representing Gableman throughout those several different lawsuits, because he was so bad at his job. The only reason it's still going on right now is because he got sued so much, and Voss was like, well, we'll just let Gableman see out the legal process in the courts. Like, how is that not a flashing red light for you to fire the man at that time? With that many different lawsuits for open record law violations that you just didn't pack up shop then. The attorney's fees rendered in those two American Oversight cases that got decided in the last 2 weeks cost roughly $500,000 alone in attorney's fees between Gableman's lawyers and the lawyers for American Oversight. Wisconsin taxpayers have to pick that cost up because Gableman was so bad at doing the initial work, he didn't keep the open records, and then he was so bad at actually being defended in court because he couldn't be defended in court because he had broken the law and then had to pay the legal fees rather than just settling those open records cases out of court. We could have saved taxpayer dollars, so many taxpayer dollars, by ending this charade months ago. It should have never began, but months ago it should have came to an end. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, minus the Brian this afternoon, but that's okay. He's down exercising those acting chops down in Chicago. If you want to join the show, share your tangent. We got one more segment left before the weekend. 844-967-2789. You are listening on Devil Radio here in Madison, the Shaw in Waukesha, Bull Falls Radio in Wausau, and locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids. Got a couple of other Wisconsin headlines we're going to get to, as well as your phone calls. 844-967-2789, because we've got an interesting case developing in federal court as well that we got to keep an eye on. So I'm going to share that story along with your phone calls. 844-967-2789.
We haven't even mentioned Florida.
No, I feel like...
I mean, man, we got a full plate today, guys. Hope you didn't have breakfast. Hope you saved some room.
Plenty of room for those headlines, hopefully. This is Dueling Tangents. We'll be right back.